many things to discuss. And so what better guy to bring into the conversation than Pierre Maguire, who we do and who joins us each and every weekday morning at this time. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How you doing this morning, Pierre?
I'm doing excellent, JR. Good morning, Sean. Is there a lot of doom and gloom around Ottawa these days?
Not so much, Pierre. No, things have changed in the last 2 to 3 weeks, to be sure.
You know, Sean's been calling for a while, JR, and you've been calling for it, and I think I've been kind of backing you guys up. They needed to get a different lineup going, getting more youthful enthusiasm into the lineup. I hope Derek Stepan's going to be okay. Obviously, that looked ugly. Just it wasn't even a hard hit or anything. So I don't know what happened. Is it his shoulder? I don't know. But that didn't look so good. The biggest thing to me is when I watched that team, there was pushback. The fight with Tkachuk and Chirot, I think that changed a lot of what was going on too. I mean, you guys would know better than I, but I thought that played a bit of a role in that whole game.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it was Chirot, right, who had the two high sticks on Stützle Cup 2 or 3 weeks ago, right? So sometimes, you know, and everybody wants immediate retribution for those things. And, you know, coaches always preach, you know what? We got a long season ahead of us. There's lots of opportunity. And I'm not saying specifically it came to that, but there was no hesitation from Tkachuk. But just on his night, Pierre, Brady Tkachuk, and DJ Smith said after the game, he thought that was the best game he's seen Brady Tkachuk played since he's been the coach of the team. So 2 goals, 4 shots, 10 attempts, that fight, and 7 hits, including the game-tying goal. What can you say to the night that Brady Tkachuk had?
That's a power forward. That's an elite power forward in the National Hockey League. Is he the smoothest skater? No. Does he have the slickest hands? No. But does he make stuff happen? Yes. He's a hockey player. He's a really good hockey player. And his board domination is huge. His slot area domination is huge. He's starting to score off the rush. I heard Sean talking about Carey being off the angle on the first goal. He's right about that. But nonetheless, the puck found in the back of the net. So there's, you know, he's just a hockey player, and he's an elite hockey player.
And to that power forward, I think back to his dad playing with Zhamnov and Solane, what we're also starting to see that's so important for him, he's not going to be the guy taking the puck the length of the ice. No. We're starting to see some plays in the neutral zone, and in both of those, just some sweet sauce actually putting him in. And I said, you probably don't want him handling the puck anywhere other than below the circle or once you're in the zone, right? I mean, the big key to this is actually now generating plays and getting him pucks in open areas.
Well, I think that's such a good point. It's so valid. But you've got a special player. I also think, and I don't think that he would ever say it, Brady, or Keith, or Matthew for that matter, and if anybody would say it, it'd be Matthew, but I also think he's got a little bit of a thing with Montreal not taking him at 3. I don't think he's ever been thrilled by the fact he got passed over. And I think that's something that he will always remember at the back of his mind. And he will always try to prove it to people in Montreal that they made a mistake. Now, I'm not saying they did, but I got to believe that's something. Because whenever he plays Montreal, there's a little extra something there.
You're on Montreal radio every afternoon. Do they talk about, the fact that to this day still that they took Kotkaniemi and not Tkachuk?
No, not really. Yeah. I brought it up, but, I mean, no, they don't. I don't believe.
Do you think the organization at this point regrets that pick?
Oh, I don't know. I think that'd be unfair. I think they're happy with the development with Kotkaniemi. He's playing a center ice position and playing a wing position are two different things, and they're two different types of players. I think eventually Kotkaniemi will be a really good, solid, top-end 200-foot player, which is, I think, what they were looking for. Their organizational need at that point was everything, but they really needed center ice help, and they hit a home run on getting Suzuki. There's no question. Kotkaniemi obviously has done well. Deneau was a great acquisition from Chicago, so you can see what they've tried to do as an organization. They've tried to build through the middle, and you can't fault them for that.
And I love I like Kotkaniemi. I mean, it reminds me of David Krejci when he came in. Wasn't physically developed. Yep. He came along, Pierre. But I was on with Knuckles Nylund yesterday, and I said, listen, eliminate Bergevin and Pierre Dorion. If you poll the other 29 general managers, there's not a single manager that wouldn't take Tkachuk ahead of Kotkaniemi right now.
Right, no, and so when the draft happened, you weren't with us. JR remembers, because he's got a good mind for that. Yeah. I just said I would take Tkachuk at 3. That's what because of the organizational need was at center. Yeah, but Montreal hasn't had a power forward for forever. Now, they got Josh Anderson, which was really good, and you saw him last night. What did he have, 6 or 7 shots on goal last night? He's a good player, too, but they didn't have that at the time. I mean, they had to make a deal to get that player, whereas, you know, you could have drafted the player. But to Tkachuk's, you know, really good, and he's going to continue to evolve, and he's a leader. And I think, you know, obviously he leaves his footprint on a lot of games.
All Senator fans, Pierre, are anxiously awaiting a contract for Brady Tkachuk. He's eligible to sign one at any point, could have since the last offseason. I've got him right now. I just did the numbers. He's got 8 goals and 15 points so far this year. So prorated over an 82-game year, I would have right now he's at 31 goals and 59 points.
How many PIMs?
Well, he's at 30 over 20, so he'd be at about 120 penalty minutes or thereabouts.
So put that together.
Yeah.
That is the perfect definition of an elite power forward.
Absolutely. But those are not, you know, his brother Matthew had close to 80 points in his third year and ended up getting, you know, signing a bridge deal with Calgary, 3 years times $7 million. I'm just wondering how difficult it will be to put a number on Brady Tkachuk, because the scoring stats are not going to be off the charts.
Right.
We all see the intangibles, everything he brings to the table, but there not everything is immeasurable. So how difficult do you think that negotiation is and will be?
I think it'll be difficult. It's not going to be easy, for sure. There's going to have to be give and take on both sides, because I think, and we've talked about this too, the business of hockey's changing a little bit here only because of what's gone on with COVID. I think just like the business and society's changed for a lot of different situations. So this is a really foreign territory for a lot of these managers and a lot of these agents. It's not going to be business as usual. And some of these comparables, unfortunately, for players and also for general managers are probably going to get tossed out the window. Now, in the case of an elite player like Tkachuk, I don't know what happens. But if you're a lesser light, it's going to be difficult. It's hard to gauge, JR. I'm not trying to skirt your question, but it's hard to gauge.
No, I guess my question is, it is going to be tough, though.
I don't think it's going to be an easy negotiation.
Yeah.
No.
Would you also agree, and this is just speculation on our part, and JR has brought it up as well, Pierre, based on all we know of the Tkachuk family, even if the Ottawa Senators laid out long-term with fairly big money, you know, philosophically, assumption, I guess I'm going to arrive at the point here, is that it would probably make sense for both parties right now to just do a bridge deal anyway, right? Unless Ottawa just wants to go bonkers financially.
Well, that's why one of the reasons why I was saying before, the business of hockey is going to be changed here for the next little while. So bridge might be the best way to do it. I'm not a big fan of bridge deals with star players, because eventually I think it ends up costing you tens of millions of dollars if you're the team. I like what Colorado's approach was with Nathan MacKinnon, and look where he is. They could have done a bridge deal with him, and they didn't. They went long-term, and now he's way undervalued. At the time, people are like, what, you're giving him that much money? But you look at it now, and you're like, whoa, that was a really smart move by Colorado. So every situation is different, obviously. One size doesn't fit all in negotiations, but this is obviously a player that Ottawa needs to keep.
First NHL shootout attempts for both Timmy Stützle and Josh Norris, and man alive. Well, just give me your thoughts on the two goals.
Norris's shot, I mean, there are not a lot of players that are going to beat Carey Price clean, high glove. That's just, that usually doesn't happen, and that was a heck of a play, and I liked how he approached the whole situation. Stützle is just an electrifying player. We've talked about him for so long now, and he just continues to grow, and you know, he knows he's targeted, and he showed a lot of vim, vigor, and vitality last night. The fact that they had the composure to score in that kind of environment is great. The only thing that's kind of, and I'm watching that game, I watched the beginning part of it before my game, and then I watched all of it when I got home last night. I just wish there could have been fans in that building. That would have been electrifying there last night with fans in the building. It would have been awesome to watch.
Yeah, I agree. And going back to that, though, on those two sequences in the shootout itself. Now, I don't know what Carey Price is like in the shootout, because there are some very good goaltenders that struggle at it.
Yeah.
But concern, forget about Tkachuk's goal. I didn't like three of the four.
Right.
But to watch a guy like Stützle, I mean, they absolutely, and I use that term very sincerely, both of them schooled Carey Price. In the case of Norris, it may be a good shot, but he couldn't have crumpled and been any smaller in the net on that play, where I think Norris might have been shocked. Is there really, against Carey Price, that much room over the glove?
Well, no, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I mean, he made that look easy. Carey Price, and I'll go back to 2007 in Leksand, Sweden, the great shootout game against the Americans, and Carey Price wasn't just a little bit good. He was really good. I think he's always been. Now, you'd have to go look the numbers up, but I think that over time it'd be proven out that his shootout record is pretty solid. But again, I don't have the NHL numbers, but I just go back to that moment. I'll never forget it. He was just a story of him being great in goal for Canada, and Jonathan Toews being just amazing for Canada in that World Junior shootout.
I was at the game, and Jack Johnson taking all the shots for the U.S. as a defenseman.
No, I think it was the other guy. It was the forward from Minnesota, Peter Mueller.
Oh, okay. No, but Johnson took two or three as well.
Yeah, he did. Mueller was the guy that was taking time.
Oh, okay,
there.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that was a beautiful rink in Lex End Sweden. I know you were there. The Bosporn Pub. Never forget that place. It's still there.
There we go. Just on Carey Price's night, then we'll move to the disallowed goal in just a second. But, I mean, that, you know, Simmer mentioned that three of the four, but that tying goal by Tkachuk, that's a stinker, Pierre.
Yeah,
I mean, you need a save there.
Carey Price got to be better. What about the save? You want to go negative on Carey Price, which I totally understand. I mean, Ottawa won the game, and I get it, and he wasn't great. I think he'd be the first person to admit that that was not a great Carey Price night. Outside of a couple sequences, he wasn't particularly good. But Matt Murray, I mean, Tyler Toffoli's coming in with the game on a stick and you know, gets shut down by Matt Murray. I mean, that was great. I mean, I saw a lot of good stuff on the other side, too, in goal, so that was positive for Ottawa.
Yeah, certainly a nice recovery on that, and I really thought for Murray kind of the same thing, redemption, but you make the big save at the big time. What does it feel like in Montreal right now, both in the sequence of Carey Price letting that in, you don't win the game, the goal called off, of course, you end up losing in the shootout. Like, those are the kind of nights, and especially on the save and the disallowed goal, Pierre, where maybe you turn the corner if you're Montreal, but now you walk out of town just not feeling very good about where your game is at.
Not only that, you're going into Winnipeg, and they're playing really good hockey right now. They really are, and Pierre-Luc Dubois is playing, and he really plays well against Montreal. There was one Sunday afternoon game last year that I remember where he just went crazy against the Canadiens. So that's another piece of business for the fans in Montreal to have to digest. I think they'll be obviously really upset about the goal, no goal on Gallagher. Now, I've seen a call both ways. I'll be totally fair here. It's rule 69.1. I've seen a call both ways in terms of the goaltender being allowed to have his opportunity to make a save attempt without being bumped or hassled in the crease. I see where Gallagher's going. I see what Zaitsev's doing. I see it both sides. And a lot of people that I spoke to late last night, I was driving home from the studio, hockey people, they're like, well, he was allowed to reset, and then he got bumped again. And then I had other people saying he had more than enough time to reset, talking about Matt Murray. So people on both sides of the ledger are weighing in, and it's kind of depends on how you view it. I could see it both ways. I really could on that goal, because I've seen that goal allowed as well.
Yeah. And that's part of the issue that we have, is that, you know, all of us are waiting for the announcement to come. Nobody has any idea, because everything is always in a state of flux with these calls. But right. I want to put Pierre Maguire in the Situation Room. Are you counting that goal or not?
I might.
You're on Ottawa Radio.
I know. That's why I'm saying.
It's all good, Pierre. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. You thought it was a good goal?
I might count that one because I just would say this. I thought that Zaitsev directed Gallagher into the goaltender. And then I thought Zaitsev didn't let him get away from the goaltender. So, again, I know what Brendan does, too. He's not stupid. He's a really smart player down there. So there's a lot to it. It's a lot more complicated than people think. But all that being said, I've seen it called both ways.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the biggest issue. And I don't know whether you ended up seeing, because you're at the massive studio there, because one of the things that I had an issue with, and I find this with all replays in television, when they showed in slow motion, you got to see it in real time to me. Like, real time would give us an indication of whether Matt Murray had enough time to reset or not. Like,
so
1.4 seconds seems like forever if you're watching it in slow motion.
We agree. No, that's really well said and a very fair point. That's one of the things that we've talked about in our group at NBC is, and I don't know, again, I'm not going to speak for other TV networks, but we've talked about you can show slow motion, but when it's all said and done, you got to get a fast motion or regular speed shot in there so people can actually see the amount of time that you have, because slow motion doesn't do justice. A lot of these, and you hear sometimes our commentary as a group, will it be like, slow motion doesn't do this play any justice. We got to show it to you in regular speed.
Right. All right. We only got a couple of minutes with you, but just overall on Ottawa right now, the last 3 weeks, I think everybody's
exciting.
Seen. Yeah, it's just, are you surprised that it seems to have come so far so fast?
No, but it's, again, I think you would say that I've been one of the more bullish people on the group. I understand everybody wants instantaneous results, but there's a building process you have to go through. My frustration with this group was I didn't see them getting better with their end zone coverage. They're getting better with their end zone coverage. They weren't getting a lot of key saves. Now they're starting to get some saves, which is showing that they're good enough to play with a lot of the better teams in the league. But the biggest thing that I see is that their younger guys are getting better. And that's so exciting. I mean, we talked about Batherson not being able to score, and now he's scoring with regularity and making plays. That first goal, Sean, I don't know what you thought of it, but that's a big-time goal.
Well, that's world-class, actually.
That's a big-time goal.
Yeah. Especially on a goalie like Carey Price, to be sure. Absolutely.
So I mean, I'm encouraged, and I'm excited. It's what I was hoping for the group there and for the fans. Like I said, I can't even imagine what that environment would have been like if they had fans in the building last night. That would have been an instantaneous marketing tool for the team to go out and sell blocks of season tickets for next year. I'm just telling you.
All right, five of the next six coming up against the Calgary Flames. It'll be Kachuk on Kachuk.
Big for Calgary, too, right?
Exactly.
I mean, huge for Calgary because now they're back in the race. By the way, I don't know if you had a chance to watch Vancouver and Edmonton. I know it was late. I was watching that. I watched the whole thing last night. If you haven't watched it, just go watch Connor McDavid last night. He only had one goal in the game, but watch how he takes the game over. It is intimidating beyond belief. Vancouver was up in that game 3-0.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll let you go at that. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Awesome visiting with you guys. Take care.